Very happy that you're here in the house of the Lord today. We want to commence our service by singing Psalm 27. And it is too a familiar tune. Let's stand, please, as we worship God today. Is my strong salvation. Well, as we've come to the Lord's house today, we know that by experience because we know Him as our Savior. And if you're a believer here today, you're listening online, let that be your joy and strength as you come not only to the Lord's day, not only to the beginning of a service of worship, but as we set our foot upon every new day, as we face the unknown, and as those issues that come along our way, unwelcome at times, not knowing where the future will take us, but to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, that is a very important thing. Last evening in our Connect Fellowship, the opening song that we sang really emphasized the truth of Ephesians 6, where we must stand strong and true in the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be our joy, our hope, and as we launch out into a new day today. We'll sing this first and second verses again. God is my be seated. Let's come to the Lord now, please, in prayer, taking a moment to settle ourselves and to bring our service to God today in prayer. Father, this morning we step out in faith once more as we approach the throne of grace, knowing, Lord, that we have full and free access. We are welcome, Lord, before you this morning. Welcome at every occasion. Welcome at every opportunity. Pleasing, happy, sad, painful. Lord, we have the free access to the throne of grace this day. Because of what our Lord has done for us, we know it, Father. We know it in our hearts. We pray the devil will not ever be able to bring some temptation or confusion into our minds or hearts that would make us timid about coming before you. We know, Lord, also that unconfessed sin, if we regard iniquity in our heart, then we will not have the joy and fellowship that we want to have. Lord, at the very beginning of our day today, we pray that you would cleanse our hearts, that you would wash our minds, that we would be purified and cleaned by the Scripture being applied to our hearts. Help us, O God, we pray this very morning. Come from busy times, getting ready. Things don't always flow well, Lord, on a Lord's Day morning. The devil would always like to put some sort of obstacle in our way, keeping us from the house of praise. And yet when we come, maybe flustered, maybe overwhelmed or distressed by other matters. Father, we pray now the Spirit's help would just settle us down and take away distracting thoughts. And Lord, I'm asking that all of us would come with an open, genuine heart. We would give our praise, as this opening psalm has been reminding us of standing strong and true in the greatness of our God's salvation. We would be strengthened with might in the inner man. Lord, empower us, bless us, enable us, and let the Word of God do its perfect work of convicting and rebuking where we need, Lord, today. And so, Father, we bring all of today's activity and worship in the preaching of the Word, in prayer that will go forward now, the reading of the Scriptures, silent prayer in the hearts of believers, and all the ministry that we're engaged in. Father, pour out your Spirit abundantly. This is not about us, Lord. It is about your holy name. And we pray that our Savior will be magnified through us today. Help us, Lord. We feel our great limitation. We feel our great weakness and inability. And yet, Lord, we come this morning by faith to stand strong in the Spirit of the Lord. And Lord, I'm asking that all of us would be clothed with the Spirit of power, both to speak the Word in my case today, and in everyone's case to hear, to understand, and to have open hearts that it will be applied to us richly. Let the Word do its perfect work. Dear Father, we ask today for those who are still in great need in their own lives and hearts, physically, remembering our sister Jennifer Browett this morning. Put your hand upon her, Lord, and bless her, strengthen her. We do pray for Stephen Cranston. We ask, Lord, for others in our congregation, Serene. We ask your hand of blessing on her. Dear Father, strengthen each one. Remember our brother George today, feeling under the weather a little bit, that you would comfort and bless him. And Lord, we do rejoice today in the blessing that you gave to Daniel and Rebecca over this past week with the birth of little Evelyn. Lord, we pray with thanksgiving that you would bless Rebecca, thankful she was brought safely through delivery. And Lord, put your hand upon this little one, and may she grow and come early to know and trust in the Savior. Our Father, our hearts are heavy today because of the events that are transpiring in this very broken world. Father, we think today of the situation in Ukraine. We pray for your church, Lord, for believers We ask that they would know your protective hand upon them. And then in this time of war, that they would be a light and a witness to help. Lord, we're asking today for the restraining and turning back of evil men. We ask, Lord, that you would confound the aggression that's put in place by Putin and others that are like him. Oh God, have mercy upon us, we ask. We don't know, Lord, all the greater purposes in these matters. But we leave them, Father, today, praying earnestly for the many who are suffering even now. Come near, Lord, give help. We ask, Father, that whatever and however this will affect us and affect the greater countries and peoples in the world, dear Lord, help us, we pray, to shine very brightly as the Lord's servants in our time. Dear Lord, help us, we pray. We think of our own nation. We pray for our leaders. They are in the throes of confusion as well. They do not know what to do, Lord. But I pray that as the heart of the king is in the hand of our God, that you would turn it wherever you desire. Lord, honor and bring glory to the great name of our Lord Jesus. So hear our prayers today. Continue to be with us now and bless us as we continue in our worship. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Number 169. We serve a risen Savior. Let's stand as we praise Him this morning.
Thank you.
And that was good singing today. And you know, whenever the stormy blast is coming, and we sense that and we feel it all around us, yet to rejoice that Christ is coming back again. Our Lord is the living Savior, and He is the soon coming Savior, our Lord and our King. And that, dear Christian, helps us and encourages us to press on and to keep going and be not discouraged, for our Lord God, Sovereign Jehovah, the King of Kings, rules and reigns. And God is not anxious. God is not distressed. The Lord is in control of all things today. We can rejoice and be thankful for that. We're reading today in our Bibles the book of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. Reading from verse 20 down to 29. This deals with a similar conflict that had arisen among the disciples, and we're going to be dealing later on today with the aspect of the Lord at the Last Supper and a very important act that the Lord did with His disciples and for them, and He was teaching them a lesson. And this portion here in Matthew 20 is somewhat similar. Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping Him and desiring a certain thing of Him. And He said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She saith unto Him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto Him, "We are able." And He saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto Him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant, your deacon. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." And the word is slave. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed them. We know the Lord will bless His Word as He always does in the public reading of it, and to encourage your heart this morning. And we want to remember all of these matters before the Lord. A word of congratulations to the Siman family, to Rebecca and to Daniel. Last Monday, Rebecca gave birth to Evelyn Maud Siman, and she was born 6 pounds 5 ounces, and we rejoice that the Lord has had His good hand upon our dear sister and upon Daniel, and we encourage you to remember them very much in prayer. It's certainly a day and a week of rejoicing for them and for the grandparents as well. They're always happy to see a new one being brought into the family. We want to please be very much in prayer for the news that has come upon the world and shocked the kingdoms of this world over this past week. Shocked in one sense, but in another sense, when you look back and see the preparations that Russia had been making for many years in planning what they were looking at in this invasion of Ukraine. We can't go into all the details of historical context. They are many, and they are complicated. But what has taken place in this past week is something that we all look at with shock and great horror, especially because if you've been following any of the news reports, and we know that it's difficult to get clarity on exactly what's happening and what's going on, but certainly the news feeds and the images that are coming in are very, very disturbing. And we want to pray for the church in the Ukraine, true believers and followers of Christ. We ask for blessing upon those who are missionaries there. And we know of a family that is serving the Lord. They are our brethren missionaries. They're connected with the lady who's working on the Current magazine as a designer, and her parents are at this time in Ukraine serving as missionaries. And so that's just one example, and we pray for them as they will be undoubtedly in harm's way sooner or later. So we pray that God will overrule, that He will restrain the wicked advances of evil men, and He will give great help in these times. Let us be then in prayer for families, for believers, that they will be a light and a witness in this time and be able to do what they can and to serve. And the Lord would be with the situation at this very moment. It's important for us in this time of our freedom and somewhat removed from it, but not to be negligent in remembering and thinking about the devastation that's going on and the effect on families. Please remember our sister Jennifer Browett in your prayers. An update this morning from our brother Dan. And Jennifer is still in the ICU, still on the ventilator and being kept sedated. Her improvement is very marginal, and the doctors are trying to do everything they can to help her, dealing with various infections that she has. But do remember Jennifer in your prayers, and also our brother Dan and their two children, Andrew and Matthew, that God would be near to them and help them at this particular time. Remember also others who are in need of your prayers at this time, and I would ask you to remember Michael Bershadsky. This past Wednesday, we had the joy of a baptismal service, and Brother Caleb Siu was baptized, and also Diana Bershadsky, and Diana's family was there at the service. Well, her husband Michael was taken into the hospital just yesterday, some very serious pain, and he's been released from the hospital, a lot of tests being done, but I know that the family would greatly appreciate your prayers for Michael at this time, that he would know the Lord's hand and touch upon him. And do please remember our brother George. He's feeling under the weather this morning and not able to be at the service today. So we want to be in prayer for our brother at this time as well. Let's not forget to pray too for our sister Serene in her time of great need, and also our sister Flo. They need our prayers at this time for a Lord's touch upon them as well. Last evening, we had our monthly Connect group fellowship over Zoom, and it was a blessing to see one young lady, Bethany Limbaga from the Philippines. She was there with us, and we also had young lady from Mexico joining us, some from Calgary, some from other churches in the U.S., and then, of course, folks here in Toronto. It was a blessed time. We heard from a testimony. Our brother Alec Newell shared a word of personal testimony, and also Mr. Logan Elder, who's a student minister in Geneva Reformed Seminary, a minister in our denomination. He gave his own testimony as well and just shared some very encouraging points about giving and sharing your faith with others. Do you remember Logan as he comes to the end of his theological studies in this year in May and June? And he's asking for your prayers for the Lord's guidance and leadership in his life as to how he will be able to go forward in the service of the Lord. My brother Frank DiDerno also comes to the conclusion of his theological studies in May and will be seeking the Lord also for his future. So let's not forget to remember these brethren in our prayers. Services going on, the ministry this today and this week. Let's not forget the prayer time at 5:50 this afternoon and our evening service. Want to continue our study in the life of Daniel tonight in our evening service. And then on Monday night, the ladies' Bible study will be via Zoom at 7 p.m. Ladies, if you would like to join up or you want to bring a friend along, contact Brother Jonathan McAnally. He'll make sure you get the link for that meeting on Monday night. And then we also, on Tuesday, want to have our Whitfield Committee Whitfield Christian School Committee meeting. We planned to do that last Tuesday, but it was postponed, and we hope to have this on Tuesday at 4 p.m. And then on Wednesday, our Bible study and prayer time here in our church, 7:30. And I also appreciate your prayers, because Wednesday at 10 o'clock at night, our time, I'll be having the Cloverdale Annual General Meeting that I'll be chairing, and looking forward to those reports and the time of fellowship with the folks there in British Columbia. Next Lord's Day, our service at the regular time, Bible classes, 9:55 for all ages. We encourage you to come along to our Sunday school program and be involved in that, and then our regular services. Lord willing, we will be meeting around the Lord's table for communion after the morning service next Lord's Day. Now, last Lord's Day, I told you that we would be handing out some nomination papers for our deacons' election, but we're hoping to do that next Lord's Day instead. I want to make sure all the details are correctly in order, and so that will be in preparation for our AGM coming up on May the 18th, and I would ask you to be in prayer as we hope to have an election for seven deacons to be elected and re-elected to our church. If you would like to nominate a deacon for that position, you must be a member of our congregation, and those papers will be handed out to you next Lord's Day, all being well. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise, and while we do that, number 576, remaining seated while we sing this hymn. I invite you to stand for the final verse. John's Gospel, in chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Reading from verses 1 to 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Father, we have the word open in front of us. We have read, and I pray for understanding. And asking, Lord, for the Spirit's application of the word to our hearts. Father, speak to us, I pray, who are believers. And I pray this morning that the word of God would be fastened in the hearts of those who are unsaved. That you would speak, Lord, through the word today. Give me help, I pray, Father. May I know the anointing and the power of the Spirit to give forth the word of God clearly, faithfully, so that no one would misunderstand. Bless us now today. Hear our prayer. I ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I would like to use and take verse 14 of this chapter as a springboard to the teaching that we have in this portion. Jesus said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." The title for the message you see on the screen before you, Sin Soiled Feet, washed by a sinless Savior. I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. We've now come to quite an amazing section of the gospel account of what transpired in the final meeting of Christ with His disciples during the Passover celebration and known as the Last Supper. At that time, Jesus gave the bread and the fruit of the vine, symbols for the church of Christ to remember His broken body and His own precious shed blood. What is significant, among other things, is that these words of institution, as they are called, are not even found in John's gospel. There are five chapters, from chapter 13 down to 17, of detailed teaching of the Lord which are not found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And now why the Holy Spirit has not put them in the others and has included them here in John is something we do not know. But we will bow ourselves to the greater purposes of the Lord, and one day we might know the fuller picture of why those things are so. But they have been an immense blessing. And as we go through them carefully in our study, we will be hovering over this section for the time in front of us in the next while. The Last Supper shows us, doesn't it, the tender example of the Lord's love and of His compassion, knowing that in 24 hours He would suffer and die for the sins of His people. We also know from our previous studies that the location of where they were going to hold that dinner was kept from the disciples until the very end. Why? Well, the Lord, I believe, wanted an undisturbed time of fellowship, of meeting, of special moments that He would have as He would share in word and in His own actions to His people. One significant action that our Lord did, we are told, was after supper, He set aside His garments and He wrapped a towel around Him, and then He began to wash His disciples' feet. And this action. Set a timeless principle of the Spirit that has been given to us, the Spirit of humble servitude and service to others. And my dear friends, today, this has got to be the message that's echoing forward from the Scriptures today of what our Lord did in those hours, those precious moments and minutes that He was there in that place with His disciples. And I pray today that we will learn. We will learn the pressing and the very pointed lessons about ourselves and what it means to have a servant attitude and a servant heart, and what it means to have the principles that Jesus set down here to encourage us. We will maintain a very wholesome attitude and spirit towards one another in the body of Christ. Most definitely in the local fellowship, but by extension to those believers that we come in contact with, that we will be able to show the love of Christ to them, and not only to the church of Christ, but to our neighbors, to those we meet, that they will see through our attitude, through our actions, that Christ and His Spirit is abiding in that person. In the first place today, please notice a common practice with a profound meaning. Common practice with a profound meaning. We know that feet washing is not for us a custom that is practiced. And we would quite honestly think it quite strange if the next time you went to someone's house, they had a basin of water at the door and they were going to wash your feet. In fact, you might even think, what's going on here? So, when is the last time that you thought to wash the feet of visitors that were coming into your home? No, it's not a common practice for us. But it was a common practice in the culture of the day in which the disciples and the Lord lived, and it was an Eastern practice and culture, and it was to show hospitality. It was to show the people who you were bringing into your home, they were welcome. They were your guests. And you wanted to make them feel, as we would say, very much at home. And how do we express those aspects of hospitality and kindness? Well, there are other ways in which we will do them. We will bring them into our home. We will extend a hand of shaking hands with them. Sometimes you might even embrace someone with a hug. We would kind of sometimes turn away from the idea of washing someone's feet because our culture is so foreign to that, because we just might not think that it was an appropriate thing to do. The last thing you would want to do is to have your visitors or neighbors coming into your home and feeling uncomfortable about something you were about to do, where your intention was to make them feel welcome, but they're thinking, what's going on here? This is odd and strange and different. And so you wouldn't want to make them feel uncomfortable right away. But this habit of washing feet, though not common to us, was very, very common to the disciples and those that lived in that time period. The weary traveler coming into a home, the roads being very dusty. The majority of travelers that would be moving on foot. It was a welcome relief to have feet cleaned and it was in a way refreshing to the spirit as well. J.C. Ryle commented, "The actions here described would not seem nearly so strange to the disciples as they do to us. They were simply the courteous actions of a host who desired to show the utmost degree of hospitable attention to his guests." Yes, this was Eastern hospitality, and this is how they operated. But we have something that's more unusual in this account of Jesus, and it speaks to us of the humility of the Lord, the humility of Christ. Because we are told this in the context and in the wording, when Jesus knew his hour was come. It was when he knew his hour was come that he began to express to his disciples this act of washing their feet. You see, it would have been, even in the Eastern culture, a very unusual thing for the master of the house, the owner of the house, to wash the feet of the servants. The servants were there, hired or there in the home, to prepare the food, to take care of the clothes, to clean the house, and to take care of the master, and they would wash the feet of the owner of the house when they would come in from travel. But the master would not be washing the feet of the servants in the home. But now the Lord Jesus is going to turn even that Eastern custom on its head. He's going to turn it upside down in order to make a very important lesson. But I want you to notice the time frame when our Lord set about this work. It was after supper had ended. And verse 3 tells us, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, his time, the hour, had now come." The hour that had been prepared for Jesus from all eternity. The hour of his suffering. The hour, friends, when he would go to the cross. And at that hour, at that time, he would have the greatest humiliation, the greatest time in preparation for his suffering and dying on the cross. And friend, there he went and suffered and died for sinners like you, like me. And I say to you today with all my heart, friend, if you are not a believer here in this church today, or you're watching online, I say to you to look by faith to what Jesus did on the cross for you. Look to the one who suffered and died and was humiliated by wicked men and was nailed to a cross to suffer and to die in our place. And it was at these preliminary moments, as the Lord had this before him, and he now knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, his time had come. And yet, what do we find our Lord doing? He was not thinking about himself. He was not thinking about his own fate. But he would express the tender love and the compassion to his disciples, even though he knew in a short time they would all flee from him. They would all run and desert him. Be encouraged, dear brother and sister, that you have always been on the mind and in the heart of Jesus. Even as he was preparing for the most climactic event of all human history that had been prepared for him before the foundation of the world, it was then You were on his mind. I was on his mind. And think now about the disciples and all that had just transpired and all of the bitter wrangling and arguing that had gone on and how their thoughts were so far away from a suffering Messiah. But it was right then and there that the Lord came to them. And friend, you and I can fit into that category, can't we? Think of all the times you and I in our minds have been so distracted and we have been so consumed with our little issues. We have been so taken up with some disagreement we have had with a brother or sister. We have been so consumed with our own issues and our own ways that we have forgotten about the Lord. And here we are wrangling back and forth on something, some dispute going on. And we have lost sight of the glory and honor of our Lord. We have lost sight of His work, perhaps. We have lost sight of the bigger picture, of the greater cause of our Messiah. Yes. But it was then, and even then, friend, when we fail the Lord, and when we have to repent of our foolishness, the Lord still has us very much on His mind. He knows our path. He knows our condition. He knows everything about us. And this speaks to us so much of the humility of our Lord. I want you to think, too, about the practical side for His followers. The fact that the custom was common to these men, it did not mean that they were not surprised when the Christ of God, the Messiah, would kneel down, take His outer robes off, wrap a towel around Him, fill a basin with water, kneel down in front of them, and begin the process one by one. The Master to the servant, taking their dirty feet into His hands, and carefully and gently bathing them. And He would move down the line, each disciple that was there. We know that they were just disputing about who was going to be the greatest. Their selfish hearts were jostling, it seemed, for some kind of preeminence. The last thing they were thinking about was washing the feet of the other disciple. No, they were not going to do that. It's a matter of fact, they were thinking, you want to wash my feet. That's what they were thinking. And the Lord doesn't say anything, but by His action. And His actions were speaking much louder than words at that time. And it was on display, the selflessness of Christ set before them. Friend, this is the way of the Lord with us. For how often have we been in the act of kind of standing on our dignity in a place where we deal with others in not so nice a way, maybe? The Lord brings to our hearts a convicting lesson, maybe. We should hang our heads in shame for our foolish thoughts and our bad manners and bad behavior. The Lord tells us, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's the word that the Lord would fasten on our minds and hearts today. The humility of the Lord is so prominent in this illustration. The practical side to His followers, well, they could see it now. It wasn't the preaching. It wasn't the words. Now it was simply what their Master was doing to them. But there's also here the spirit of the teaching is more than the act itself. Let's not lose sight of that today. The spirit of what the Lord was teaching them was more than the act itself. We're told in verse 14, Jesus said, "You also ought to wash one another's feet." There are some Christian groups that have attempted to follow more to the letter the example of this from the New Testament, and they have tried to put this injunction and obey it in a practical, in a real sense. This has taken many different forms and many unfortunate and hypocritical forms. For example, the Pope every Easter comes out into Vatican Square, and there are some poor people that have been gathered, and the Pope bows down and washes the feet of a few poor people, so-called giving a significance of humility. But that is so filled with hypocrisy. If you know anything about all of the inner workings of Romanism and of the papacy, the Moravian Church, they've long tried to keep this practice of feet washing. It's a custom called pedilavium. But is this the literal action? Is that what's being commended here? Surely the message of Christ, it extends far beyond that. If washing another's feet is an example of humility and service, then surely the lesson of servitude and of esteeming others better than yourselves is more realistically to fulfill the teaching of the Lord from this act. With an external ritual, there is always, friends, a danger of deteriorating in some kind of a fetish. Do you remember the account of Hezekiah in his day when there was the brazen serpent that Moses had made, and over the generations, people had begun to bow down to the brazen serpent. They had begun to hold it up as a religious relic. And when the people were looking at the relic itself, they'd lost complete sight of the intention of why it was made. And so what did Hezekiah do? He crushed it to stone and he burned it and said it was Nehushtan, a piece of brass. And what were the people doing? They had lost sight of the point. And friends, we have to be careful we don't lose sight of the point and the message that the Lord is teaching us. Therefore, I present to you today that the fuller application of this teaching, it's most definitely a spiritual one. As Mr. Ryle went on to say, Jesus wished his disciples that they ought to be willing to wait on one another, to serve one another, to minister to one another, even in the least and lowest of things. They should think nothing too low or humble or menial to undertake. If they can show love, kindness, and condescension to another, if he, the King of Kings, condescended to leave heaven to save souls and to dwell 33 years in a sinful, defiled world, there is nothing that we should think too lowly to undertake. And I believe Mr. Ryle has captured the heart and the thought of this. Often it's the spirit, isn't it, of humble service that will be more evident in our relations one with another. It's the attitude of heart toward others in the course of being willing to take a step down wherever is needed. But what will hinder us from doing that, friends? What will stop us from humbly serving other people in our lives? It's the spirit of pride. It's the spirit of us wanting our own way. It's the spirit of us saying that I am more important than you are. And it's always a time of reflection when we hear these thoughts, because we say, Lord, please help me. It's a time really of self-examination. It's not to be examining others. And so, yes, we have to realize that pride will get in the way of that spirit of meekness and grace that we need to have to serve others. But there's also a thought here that this is even to our enemies. You know something? Judas was still there at that time. Christ washed the feet of Judas. Now stop and think about that for a moment. The Lord knew from before the foundation of the world about Judas. He knew as He walked with him for 3.5 years. He knew that as He sent out Judas to preach the word with powers to even do healing and miracles. And now Judas is at the very last. He had already been to the high priest once. He had already made a deal with them. And the Lord Jesus knew that. But He will bow Himself now down before His enemy. And there are times, friends, when you and I are going to be in a circumstance where we're faced with those who are opposed to us. They're not just opposed to us. They're opposed to the gospel. They're opposed to Christ. And the Lord may have us in that circumstance and place to be a witness for them again. You see, there was yet an opportunity for Judas to repent. He had not gone all the way through with his dastardly deed. And the Lord washed the feet of Judas as well. Ah, how many pressing lessons there are for us as we consider what the Lord did and how we have failed so often to accomplish those things. Ah, yet, my dear friends, may the Lord write this truth upon our minds. But there's something else very interesting too in this portion, and I leave this second point with you today. It is when Jesus came to wash Peter's feet. We see in this a plea that Peter had for the honor of his Lord and Savior, a plea for the honor of Christ. And in this, what is on display? On display is the heart of the man, Peter. When Jesus came to wash Peter's feet, he refused with some very strong words. First there was a question, but then it turned into a strong word. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Surely in this response, we don't see Peter being arrogant. Where was a response here that showed the heart of Peter? He had made already, don't forget, the declaration when Jesus asked him, "Whom do men say that I am? But who do you say that I am?" And Peter stood up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He knew he was the Messiah. And so Peter, when he sees the Lord on his knees in front of him, "No, no, Lord, you can't do this." Remember what Peter said when he first met the Lord? Peter said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I'll tell you something. Peter had a past. And he had a past that he was not happy about. And some of us have got past that we're very ashamed of. Not happy to talk to other people about. Things we have done, things we have said, actions we've been involved with. And would we want to see our Lord bowing down at our feet to wash our feet? We would say, "No, Lord, no, you can't do this." And that was the heart of Peter, because he loved the Lord. And he said, as he did 3 times after the resurrection, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Here is the heart of this man that was on display. And we know there are many faults that Peter had. And he displays them at times very clearly. But we dare not make such a charge here. Not according to knowledge. Is not the heart of the man for the honor of Christ stepping forward? And you know, if we must make a mistake, let us make a mistake in favor of the Lord's honor. If we have to take a stand and it might be a wrong time or a wrong place, but we say, Lord, we want to do this for your honor. Yes, there was on display the heart of this man. But we also see in this situation, there was a plea then for Peter to be completely washed. And now you get an indication of some misplaced logic, perhaps. Well, Lord, if the Lord said, if I don't wash you, then you have no part of me. Oh, now he was shocked by that word. And Peter is saying, no part of you, Lord? Well, of course I want to have part of you. And if it means washing my feet, well, then why would you not wash all of me, my hands, my head? So he was drawing a conclusion. And yes, it was a wrong conclusion. But again, we cannot blame the man for this. It was just some misplaced application. Once Jesus told him that unless he was washed, he had no part in him. And Peter went and humbly took from the Lord what he had to do, and the Lord washed Peter's feet then as well. Because Christ said, no, it's enough that I wash your feet. You are every whit clean. Which again is an illustration for us that the washing was simply an emblem, simply a picture. There was no efficacy in the washing itself. But it was the expression of humility, the expression that the Lord was teaching them. He wants them to follow in that pattern as they treat and deal with each other. And as the message for Christians comes down to us from generation after generation, this message is still there. What is the cause of division and split often in churches? I know sometimes it's on doctrinal points. And those divisions, they have to take place because we must be faithful to the Word of God. But there are times when divisions happen in churches and it's over ultimately silly things, personality matters. One person wanting this level, the next person wanting another level. We say, Lord, please help us. Don't allow that to happen. Go in front of us. And the Lord's response to Peter was a lasting lesson of humility, of patience, and of grace. He said, what I do now, you don't know, but you will know hereafter. Peter, the action that I am doing and the application of this teaching, you can't quite get it now. The Lord was so gentle with him, as he is with us when we make mistakes and misinterpret the Bible and go off on a wrong path. You don't quite get it yet, but my child, you will understand one day. And Peter definitely would come one day to understand that. The lasting lesson, Jesus said, for I have given you, in verse 15, an example that ye should do as I have done to you. We never can make a mistake, friend, when we look to the example of our Savior and pray that we will understand it in all of its dimensions and we will see the application of its truth to us in everyday life. And we will not be caught into the weeds in some respect of turning something into a ritual that is not intended to be. We will pray the Lord will give us great discernment and great understanding. And we will pray that our understanding will be fulfilled and completed and expanded in this life and ultimately in glory as well. A final thought I leave with you, and it's this: the joy and the contentment of following our Lord's example. Look at verse 17. If ye know these things, Jesus said, happy are ye if ye do them. If you know them in your heart, and if you apply them to be action, then you're going to be satisfied. That's the meaning of the word happy, fulfilled, contented. And you know, when we obey the Lord and when we put into practice the teaching that He gives to us in His Word, we will see those steps of development, those advancements in our sanctification, whereby we come more like our Lord. We have more of His Spirit, more of His heart, more of His way. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what we desire in our hearts, isn't it? We want to have and follow that example. We're in a very selfish world. Each one is out for himself. Bitterness, envy, trampling over others to get up the corporate ladder. This is the way of an evil world. But the Christian is to be different. We are to follow our Lord and to walk by the power of His Spirit. And I pray today for my own heart, and I pray for you that the Lord will fill us with His Spirit and power, that He will enable us to fulfill this very clear and simply spoken word, but not so easily accomplished. And so we can only do this by the Spirit of the Lord that abides within our hearts. And we will pray more for His power. We will pray that we will die unto ourselves and live unto Christ. And the more that we look to Him, we will see His reflection being completed and filled in our lives. For we are being changed. Do not despair, friend. God's Spirit is at work in us, and He will fulfill and accomplish those things in us and in our families, in our loved ones, in our friends, in our congregation. And so I pray that this will be a word that we will take to our hearts. As Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Friends, where service is closed pretty soon now, and just want to give you an invitation. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, I would encourage you to call out to Him right where you are now, in the church, at home. Lift your heart in prayer and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And as you pray that prayer, and as you confess that you want Christ to come into your heart, what a blessing that He will answer your prayer. Father, work deeply, I pray, in every heart. I'm asking, Lord, that we as your people would know that Spirit in our dealings with each other. That you would help us, Lord, where we have so often failed. Forgive us for our failures. And may the light and the beauty and the humility of our Lord Jesus be shining through us. Dear Lord, part us now in your fear and with your rich blessing. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.